You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the first time. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I think you'll be glad as well. Got an email in reference to something I said on the show last night. I was talking about... here in America, we call it soccer. The rest of the world calls it football. And I just couldn't get the right terms to my brain. You know, that happens sometimes. You got to forgive me. Hey, I'm an old guy. I mean, I knew the terms. I didn't get the right ones to my brain. And so, anyway, that's what this email is about. And it's from Umberto in the UK. It says, I just wanted to correct what you said last night about the aliens showing up at the Premiership final. The Premier League is the championship played in England throughout the year between 20 teams, with the final winner decided by the amount of points accumulated. What you meant was the World Cup. You are so correct. I just got the wrong term to my head. It's played every 4 years between 32 countries from all corners of our beautiful planet. Anyway, I heard you had said once that you supported Manchester United. Then you shouldn't miss next Wednesday's Champions League final between Man U and Barcelona. That's more like your Super Bowl. Yeah, I reckon it would be. And he says, I attach for your information a link to a website where you'll be able to watch it for free. And I so do appreciate that. Yeah, I like Manchester United. But I'll tell you, and this might surprise you, I also like Red Star. Red Star is the team from Belgrade. Ja volim Belgrad mnogo. Živtamo teško, ali Belgrad lepo. I like Belgrade, and I like Red Star, and the former owner of the Red Star team was Jeliko Raznetovic, or Arkan, and Arkan was tagged, you know, as a war criminal. But I have met him on several occasions. I've talked with him. And he's dead now, but he was a war criminal. I don't dispute that. But if you met him in person and talked with him in person, it didn't seem to fit, didn't seem to match. And he was kind of interesting. But, I mean, I was fully aware of what the charges were against him or what charges were coming against him. But he was an interesting guy. He really was. I don't praise him. That's not it. Don't write to me and hate me because you say I praised Arkan. I didn't really know him. And I know what was said about him. And I have met him and talked with him on a number of occasions. He was the owner of the team, Red Star. And what a great, 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 great bunch of fun it is to go to a Red Star game. If you're ever in Belgrade, be sure you avail yourself of that. We're going to be back in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about this swine flu that's all in the news. It's weird. We'll be talking with Jerry Wills about it, and he's weird too. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, you might be asking yourself, why? I mean, this is one of the premier UFO talk shows, paranormal talk shows on the planet. Now, for those of you who doubt that, just go to Google and type in UFO talk show. Or go to Yahoo, UFO talk show. And who do you see at the top of the list? It's one of the premier shows about those kinds of things on the planet. So you might be asking yourself, what's the deal with you guys talking about swine flu tonight? Well, paranormal means anything for which there is no scientific explanation. That's what the word means. So here's something that has no real scientific explanation. My guest this evening is going to be Jerry Wills, and you may be thinking, yeah, there is a scientific explanation. Well, there may be, but it hasn't come out in public yet. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Jerry, before we dive off into this thing, let me read something that I have here about this swine flu.
All right.
Swine flu, there's several variations of it, and it's around all the time. Every season, there are a few cases, one or two cases of swine flu somewhere, and as a matter of fact, it averages about two cases in the USA per year. And there's several variations of swine flu. But this particular version was completely unknown. Plus, there is an added mystery. They knew nothing about this version. It's a combination of swine flu and avian flu and, I don't know, two other things. It's four things in there. It's a combination. But listen to this statement now. This is by Dr. David Reeves, Associate Professor of Population Health at the University of Georgia College of Veterinary Medicine. Man, wouldn't you hate to have a title that long? You had to write that down on all your letters that you send out? Good grief, that would take half the day. All right, he says, and I quote, "Most of the time, the virus stays in the pigs. The one that they're talking about," and this is talking about the one that has killed so many people in Mexico and has now made its way over into the USA and other places around the world. He says, "The one they're talking about appears to be a new strain of the virus. We don't know how it happened. And listen to this. We've not seen it in pigs, but it's circulating within humans. Why? That's the multi-million-dollar question," end quote. Now, folks, you see, it's paranormal. Okay, it's not spiritual. Maybe there are some spiritual ramifications to staying healthy and so forth, but this is not, the topic is not spiritual. Swine flu is not spiritual. It's not paranormal in that sense. It's not a ghost. It's not paranormal in that sense, but it has no scientific explanation. Because the way swine flu gets to humans is the pigs have it first. And then, because of maybe a little pig in a petting zoo somewhere, and bunch of children are petting it, and the child gets the flu from that pig. then it gets into the human population. Or it's people who work with swine, for instance, on pig farms or meat packing houses, slaughterhouses, where they're around the pigs all the time and working with them all the time, and someone there picks up swine flu from one of the pigs. That's how it gets into the human population. Well, here we've got Dr. David Reeves, who says, we don't know how it happened. We've not seen it in pigs, but it's circulating within humans. Why? That's the multi-million-dollar question. I don't suspect that Jerry has an answer for that. We'll give you a shot at it. But I wanted folks to understand, Jerry, why we're taking a look at this, and then the reason that we're asking you to take a look at this and talk with us about it is because all we're hearing, I've got it right here, all we're hearing from CDC about this, how to protect ourselves, it says there's no vaccine for it to prevent it. So avoid close contact, stay home when you're sick, cover your mouth and nose when you cough or sneeze, clean your hands often, and avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Okay, so basically do what Vice President Joe Biden said, and that is don't get enclosed spaces and keep washing your hands. But I wanted you to talk with us because you're into alternative healing methods, and I wanted you, from your perspective, to talk with us about this, because it is a paranormal situation in which basically they're saying, they're kind of throwing their hands up and saying, we don't know. So, from your point of view, let's dive into this. First of all, you have any theories about how is it that it's circulating among humans and it's not in the pigs?
Well, because the virus is being spread by another means, obviously. It would have to be something like flies, insects, or it could be chemtrails.
Okay. Now we stepped in it.
I hope we don't go off the air as it normally happens when we touch a touchy subject like this. But the thing is, there are only certain ways you can get the flu. And having lived in a third world country, Kathy and I lived in South America a couple of different times. You have as well. You know that the sanitation down there isn't the greatest. It's not even good. And yet people have a tendency to make it just fine through most of their life, getting sick a little here or there. But this virus, as you just so carefully pointed out, isn't showing up in the pig population, so that means there has to be another way that it's being introduced to humans. And from what I've been able to gain from reading about this, I know a lot of folks are worried about it, they're concerned, they'd like some answers. We do too. Kathy, as you know, is an extraordinary researcher, and she's been doing a bit of reading on this to try and come up with some idea, some answer as to what's happening. Don't really have any idea why it's being spread the way that it is, unless it's aerosol dropping down on us like dust from chemtrail, or it could be, like I said, as a result of insects. But the one thing that we did hear a couple of days ago is that the CDC now believes that 100,000 Americans are already infected, but their immune system is substantial enough to keep them from feeling the effects of the swine flu. And they're worried that come September, October, November, when the flu season hits, that all these people who are carrying the swine flu, it will have the ability to take hold. Which brings up a couple of very interesting scenarios. Number one, why would it be during the flu season, and what does that mean? Well, during the summer months, we're outside, we're getting vitamin D from sun, from our exposure. We're eating differently, we're more active. During the winter months, just the opposite is true. We may be outside. We're not getting as much sun, not as much vitamin D. And our activities are changed. I think this plays a very important role in predicting how the swine flu, if it is indeed a swine flu, we'll just call it the flu, how this is going to impact the rest of the population who are now probably carrying it.
All right. Now, let me just add a little bit of wood on that fire. At the present time, there is no vaccine for this. It is a combination of avian flu or bird flu, swine flu, and I wish I had it here somewhere. I can't lay my hands on it right now. Two other types of flu. It is a very virulent type of flu. If you happen to live in Mexico, if you happen to live in the United States, it's bad, but it's not near as fatal as it seems to be in Mexico, which is pretty interesting. I have a little theory about that, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Nevertheless, on April the 29th, the director of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, announced this. She said, based on assessment of all available information and following several expert consultations, I have decided to raise the current level of influenza pandemic alert from phase 4 to phase 5. And that's the end of the quote. Well, phase 5 would mean that we have reached the level of pandemic. Well, everyone was really frightened about that, and then it seemed like nothing much happened. It seemed like it all began to subside. And I found that to be pretty interesting. Now, my theory on... another thing. For those of you who think that we really don't have much problem with this in the U.S., you need to be aware of the fact that public schools throughout the country have been closed in some pretty interesting places. New York, California, Texas, Massachusetts, all have closed schools. That doesn't mean they're closed statewide, but there are places where they have closed schools because a significant number of the student population called in sick with flu-like symptoms. All right. Now, that means that we are having problems with this swine flu. My theory, and it may not hold water, and I know that we have some medical people that listen to the show, some doctors and nurses that listen to the show. You may want to call in and correct me on this, but here's my theory about the difference between Mexico and the U.S. In Mexico, I don't know, something over 100 people have died from this. In the U.S., I think the number now is 7. I think that's the current number. And I think the difference might be this. Do you remember when Gerald Ford was president of the United States, there was the threat of a swine flu outbreak, and the U.S. government broke out all of this swine flu vaccine and encouraged everyone to go have a flu shot. And President Ford was seen on TV getting his swine flu shot. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right. Now, a lot of people back then got swine flu shots. True, it's a different strain of swine flu. However, that means there are millions of people across this country who have at least a modicum of immunity to swine flu in general. So when they get it, this is my theory, it's just not as bad. It's just not hitting them as bad. And I think it might be a residual from that vaccination program back during the Gerald Ford administration. What do you think?
Well, Maybe so. But they would have us also believe that this virus is a mutable virus that changes its ability to infiltrate its host. If the host develops antibodies or antigens, then it then has developed a way of going in, bypassing those antigens that the body might have. One of the things that occurs to me, Kevin, is that the when you're in a third world country and people get sick, they don't go to the doctor right away like they do here. We live in a country where if there's something wrong, we try to address it as quickly as possible. But in Mexico, it's not the case, especially rural Mexico. One of the stories that we tracked down, and some of your listeners may be familiar with this, I'll try to be as accurate as I can, remembering the information I came across. There is a very large area just north of this small town that is, the town is east, I think it's east of Mexico City. That large pig farm, which is north of this small town, and I can't recall the name of it, it stinks terrible, and it's just a mess. And of course, there aren't any of the safeguards in Mexico that there are in the United States to keep things clean. This huge corporate pig farm is owned by American interests, and the vaccines and so forth that they've been giving to pigs, they can do things with impunity in Mexico that they could never do here. Well, the people in this village are the first ones to have come down with the swine flu, and they were coming down with it as a result of flies that were coming from the pig farm into the town and biting people. The people in this town commute from the town into Mexico City. So this was then carried into Mexico City. So the reason why I think that it was so bad in Mexico is because they were right there at ground zero where this was taking place. And if the bad guys out there in the world who might be like Kissinger wanting to take the world population down by two-thirds, this might be just a way of moving that just one step forward. What you don't hear on the news is that right now, down in South America, northern part of Peru, down through the southern part of Peru on the coast, people are being bit by these flies, and these flies are causing a leishmaniosis type of infection in the people that are being bit. We were just reading about this in a dispatch from Lima that we received about 2 days ago. I can forward it to you if you're interested to see it.
Sure.
But these are leaving big red marks on people, and the people are getting quite sick, men, women, children. And, of course, you know, there isn't anything they can do about it, and most of the reason they can't is because they can't afford to go to the doctor.
All right, Jerry, we have to take a break. We'll pick up there when we come back. And, folks, you stick with us. It is paranormal. It's weird. This disease is just weird. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Got a flash message. I don't normally check those, but I accidentally clicked the button and it came up on the screen. Don't normally check those till the second hour when we start opening up the telephone lines. But it asked a question I want to answer very quickly, and then we'll get back to our discussion of swine flu. It said, don't you have any archives of your show? It would be nice if you did. It's from a listener in the United Kingdom. Yes, we do. The archives are in our members area. They are called K-Pods, and you can either listen online or you can download them to your iPod. So every show goes in there minus all the commercial breaks. Okay, so it's the show with no commercial breaks. All right, let's get back to our discussion and to my guest this evening, Jerry Wills. Jerry, got a question, a couple of questions here. You're talking about further down in South America, the people are being bitten by flies, and then they're getting these big red marks on them as a result, and they're getting sick. Well, what kind of symptoms are they having?
Well, they're becoming feverish, achy. The place where the bite has taken place becomes inflamed, and a bacteria is growing under their skin. This is called leishmaniosis. There's a beetle in the Amazon called the kissing bug that if it bites you, you get leishmaniosis. Well, it's the same thing now with these flies. The children are the ones who are out in the streets playing, and of course the adults are out working, but they're getting bit. And this one picture I saw was of a little kid with red marks on his face, on his body, and just in terrible shape in a hospital with this strain of leishmaniosis that the kid has been infected with, which is very hard to get rid of, by the way. But this is happening up and down the coast of South America. So they're having their own issues. It isn't swine flu there. They're having their own issues with these biting flies. We ran into the biting fly situation when we were at Machu Picchu and have for the past few years. There's a tiny black fly that's about as large as a freckle on your arm. And when this thing bites you, it draws blood. You don't even know you've been bitten until after it's left, and it suddenly feels a little itchy. Within 3 days, the area that it bit will swell up, and it'll be itching insanely. Well, when you're at Machu Picchu, you're walking around in your maybe short pants, your shirt, no sleeves, you know, that sort of thing. A lot of people do that. And there are folks that you'll see who come back from Machu Picchu with their legs smothered with these red bites. They're on their face. They're on their fingers. I've had this before, too. I had 15 or 20 bites on one hand, and my hand swelled up like a sausage. Now, these flies weren't in Machu Picchu 10 years ago, but they're there now, and the reason is because of the deforestation that's taking place is driving these insects further and further to find a food source. But that isn't exactly, you know, what we're talking about here with swine flu, except that the insects are the carriers of something that is potentially quite deadly. I don't think we've even approached the tip of the iceberg with how bad this can be. And part of what I wanted to do for your listeners tonight is to give them an idea, based on my work as a healer, what I would suggest that they start doing immediately in order to protect themselves so that we can be sure your listeners don't get sick and their families and friends and so forth, provided they use the suggestions that I'm about to give.
And, okay. Now, before we do that, though, there's one more thing I want to explore with you. You were talking about this gigantic pig farm north of a village that's near Mexico City.
Avi sent me a message. We're broadcasting me live on Channel U and the video.
Mm-hmm.
So your listeners could go to Channel U and watch me, and they can stay on your station and watch you. So
well, they can open up two browsers and watch us both.
Right, and Avi wrote in and said that he believes the name of that town was Gloria, and I'm pretty sure he's right.
Okay. What about this possibility? Now, this is coupled with something else you said. Let me bring it up again. You said that the CDC is now saying that they think it's possible that as many as 100,000 people in America are infected with swine flu, with this swine flu, but their immune system is causing them to not have the symptoms.
Right.
And what they worry about is when we get into the standard flu season in the fall, that it may all come out at that time. Right?
Right. Yep.
Okay, now what that is a description of is an incubation period.
Well, that's how it seemed to me as well.
All right. What if, and this is a huge what if, folks, please, this is not alarmist. I'm just saying what if, and I'm exploring the idea here. What if in Mexico the reason that we saw so many deaths in Mexico and haven't seen them here. What if the actual infestation of the population took place months and months and months ago, and they've been carriers of this, and they reach the end of the incubation period, and then it all broke out, and we saw the results that we saw. Now, if that scenario, and don't go screaming panic into the night here, but if that scenario is accurate, then when we reach the end of our incubation period, what might we see here?
Well, exactly right. You know, and folks don't typically think in terms of this. But if you take something, for example, like artificial sweeteners, they may be drinking those for a few years and then start developing some obscure issue. Maybe their fingers hurt, or they've gotten headaches, or something of this nature, muscle twitches. And there's some sort of neuropathy, let's say, that's going on. They're not going to associate the artificial sweetener with the result of pain. Instead, they're looking for Tylenol or something to help get rid of the pain. They're not looking at combining these two things as seemingly unrelated to, equal the issues that they're having. And I think it's time that we started thinking in terms of this, because if you think about it, I mean, when you come down with the flu, you don't immediately, I mean, you didn't get the flu the day you came down with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a cold, you suddenly feel the onset of it. It may have been incubating in you for 5 or 6 days. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, your immune system wears down to the point where it starts rearing its ugly head. And it may be that that's what's going on with the swine flu as well. I don't know, but I have a pretty strong suspicion that this may be what's going on.
All right. Now, as we get into your advice to us about things we can do to help protect ourselves from getting the swine flu, but as we get into that, I want everyone to understand Jerry is not a doctor and he is not giving medical advice. All right. This is his advice, not medical advice, but his advice for some things to do that would be healthy for us and would improve our chances of not getting the swine flu, or may improve our chances of not getting it. But it's not medical advice. All right. So don't say later, well, I did everything Jerry said and I still got it. Well, stuff happens, okay?
Yeah, this is not any insurance as that you're not going to get it. This advice is basically kind of like if you're going to be driving on the street and you see a nail in the road in a board, then steer a little to the left and avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that kind of advice. I'm not a doctor, of course, and I think people realize that. But I did sleep in a Holiday Inn.
Oh, okay.
Now,
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Well, probably not this one either. We were researching different things about nutrients and things to keep the body boosted and you know, all these nutrients that you might have access to, and everyone really does have access to them. It's really a lot of no-brainer stuff, but it has to do with things that you don't know about because you're not exposed to it the way we are. But I want to give you some ideas, things that we use, and if you use these things, they may actually help you quite a bit. And I'm going to explain not just what it is that I'm suggesting, but I'm going to explain why it is. Because I think it's much more important if you understand what it is so you can look it up for yourself and see if it's appropriate for you. And then I'm going to explain why. So that's my opinion. You
All
right. can find out the same information by doing your own research.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. The first thing is something called essential formula. This is a probiotic. You can buy a package of 60 of these for around $50. You would take two of these in the evening when you go to bed, drink it with a glass of water. It's a very powerful probiotic. Now, here's why.
Okay, first explain to us what the word probiotic means.
Okay, sorry. Probiotic is the type of bacteria that lives in your intestines, in your gut. You either have good or you have bad. And if you get sick, usually the bad will become more prolific because you've gotten a fever, maybe the yeast is growing, or whatever. You know, maybe you ate something that's not good and it's in there. But probiotic, it is a more powerful form of bacteria that the body can work with and not work against. And so when it's populated in your intestines properly, it helps the elimination process, which is a real vital process to get all the nastiness out of your body. But it also helps to keep the bad bacteria at bay so that this bad bacteria does not create, as a byproduct of its life cycle, the toxic waste that would then re-enter your bloodstream or your lymphatic system. If this toxic waste gets in there, you don't feel good. And that weakens your immune system because now your immune system is trying to combat that toxic material that the bad bacteria is depositing directly into your body, directly into your bloodstream. So that's what a probiotic is all about. Now, the reason you would want to do this, and I'm suggesting doing this for the next 8 months. So these are things for the next 8 months you might consider. And the reason you would do it is simple. If something is going to come into you, one of the weakest places in Americans is their intestines because of the food we eat, the lack of nutrition, and so forth. There's a lot of sugars. There's a lot of this, that, and the other that isn't good for you, a lot of processed foods. That being the case, the bad bacteria can grow and live there quite easily. If you happen to get the flu, in my opinion, it seems like a no-brainer. If you have your intestines fortified constantly with a good probiotic, that's going to mean that the good bacteria in your intestine is going to be as strong as it can be to help eliminate the bad bacteria toxic side effects that would actually get much worse if you came down with the flu.
All right, Jerry, we have to take a break. We'll pick up there when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, more on this mysterious swine flu. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills, and we're talking about this very mysterious swine flu. Just as a reminder, and for those of you who have just joined us, or you joined us late, and you didn't hear this, I want to read a quote for you from Dr. David Reeves, Associate Professor of Population Health at the University of Georgia College of Veterinary Medicine. Most of the time, the virus stays in pigs. This is the quote. Most of the time, the virus stays in pigs. The one they're talking about appears to be a new strain of the virus. We don't know how it happened. We have not seen it in pigs, but it is circulating within humans. Why? That's the multi-million-dollar question. All right. For that reason, I said, because there doesn't seem to be a scientific explanation for this, it, by definition, then, it fits into the world of the paranormal. Anything for which there is no scientific explanation is, by definition, paranormal. And certainly, I think we would have to say this one would also be very abnormal. Jerry Wills is talking with us about his suggestions. You know, he is renowned the world over as a healer, an alternative healer. And so he's talking with us about suggestions for doing things to boost our systems and make us healthier so that perhaps we'll have a stronger defense against this thing. Okay, Jerry, you had told us about essential formula and probiotic, and I think when we went to break, you were wrapping up by saying that it just makes sense to you that if we have the right stuff, the right type of bacteria living in our gut as opposed to the wrong kind, then we won't have all of these toxins in our system.
Right, that's a good place to start, because that will keep you a lot healthier if you do it that way.
Okay.
Now, there are some other things. Let's go now to what I was talking about earlier, being out in the sun and getting sun exposure and vitamin D. Most people think that if you go out and get sun, you get vitamin D, and that vitamin D is going to keep you healthy. But the suggested dosage for vitamin D is well below what actually would keep you healthy. Another thing, too, is that vitamin D occurs on the surface of your skin. It doesn't occur down inside your skin. If you don't take a bath for 3 days after you've been out in the sun getting all hot and sweaty, then the vitamin D will eventually soak in through your skin. It's an oil that's produced by your skin. Most people are not going to go 3 days without a shower. So,
let us hope.
What you'd want to do is you'd want to get a vitamin D supplement. So you're looking for D3, and you're looking for no less than 10,000 units of D3, and you want to take one of those every day and do that from now on. Vitamin D3, even if you're getting a lot of sun. Now, you may think 10,000 units sounds like a lot, but if you're out in the sun, your exposure to the sun, depending upon how much of your body is uncovered, you're going to be getting anywhere from 15 to 18,000 units of vitamin D if you're out in the sun for several hours. Guys who work out in the sun all day long are getting probably 18 to 20,000 units. So taking 10,000 units, in my opinion, is kind of a low dosage, but it is enough to help keep you healthy.
All right.
Vitamin D is part of the immune system's fuel. It does a lot of other things as well, but mostly in this particular case, the way I'm referring to use it, it's for the fuel, for the immune system. That's another thing that will help to keep you healthy. Now let's go to the next item. This is a little bit more abstract. This is called L-glutamine. That's a L and glutamine, M-I-N-E. It's an amino acid. A lot of folks out there may be listening, thinking, oh, I've taken L-glutamine before, but they've probably taken it in capsules, and they may have taken 100 milligrams or maybe 500 milligrams. That's way too low. If you take 5 to 8 grams of L-glutamine, you can get it in a big tub. It costs about $30. Incidentally, vitamin D is not that expensive, so, you know, that's cheap. But the L-glutamine is about $30. For a kilo, which is 1,000 grams, that should be good for one person for a couple of hundred doses at least, at 5 grams. If you take more, of course, it'd be less. You just take a, it comes with a scoop, dump the scoop into about 4 ounces of water, 6 ounces of water, just stir it up until it's completely dissolved, and then drink it down.
Okay, now what does it do for you?
What L-glutamine will do is very similar to GABA, and I've told folks to use GABA before as well, which is another amino acid. L-glutamine does a couple of things. First of all, it will go down into your gut, of course, and there are people that have actually had their ulcers just vanish as a result of the L-glutamine. It really helps the bowels to be conditioned and keeping them healthy. But the other action of L-glutamine is even more important, and what that's all about has to do with something called human growth hormone. From the research that we've done, and the research that's available on the web, and I encourage anyone interested to research this for themselves. Don't take my word for it. L-glutamine causes the pituitary, which is located here in the center of your forehead, to release human growth hormone, but not the type that you've heard about people going to Mexico to buy or some other country and getting it and getting shots. That's ridiculous. Your body produces its own version of human growth hormone all the time. But since you've turned 20 years old and gotten older, the levels of human growth hormone have really taken a nosedive to where on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're around 40 or 50, you're probably producing 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 instead of 10. So what the L-glutamine will do is it will cause your body to produce an abundance of human growth hormone up to 400% more than what you're already producing. The reason you want that to happen is because human growth hormone is one of the most essential aspects of you staying alive, being healthy, and all of your tissue and your body being healthy, your mind being healthy, your blood being healthy. If you use this and your body is compelled to produce human growth hormone, your own version, then you can't help but be healthy.
Okay. Does it would it cause my hair to grow back?
No, we'd have to come up with something else for that.
I don't think it exists.
You know, I was thinking about that just the other day when suddenly it occurred to me, there are people listening to your show right now who aren't members of the
show. That's true. Now, if you come up with something that makes my hair grow back, I bet all of them will join.
We'll get you a wig. We'll at least make it look like it did.
Okay.
It's your Wayne's World wig.
Hey, well, you've seen the picture of me standing in flames, and I've got my Howard Stern wig on.
I know. I like that. That's a good look, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good look. That was actually my wife's wig. Okay. After L-glutamine, what's next?
Okay, the next thing is something called resveratrol. You may have heard about this in the news. It's R-E-S-V as in Victor, E-R-A-T-R-O-L. Resveratrol, it is a really powerful antioxidant. And, of course, if you have something like the flu coming into your body, you want a good antioxidant. So that's one of the best that's out there. One of the other functions it has, though, is that it works on the system to reestablish pathways against insulin resistance. When you start coming down with something, insulin is a hormone. And one of the things that can happen is that insulin resistance can take place because of the action of the virus on the body. So using resveratrol can help to keep those pathways open, which only means that you're going to feel better, you're going to have more strength, and it's not going to hit you nearly as hard. See, one of the things that happens when a person comes down with something like this, like the swine flu, is that there are opportunistic bacteria in the body. So the flu has weakened you. If you have the flu, it definitely has weakened you, and that means your immune system is compromised. The next thing that's going to happen is that opportunistic bacteria, and in apparently many cases in the lungs, people are coming down with pneumonia, have all kinds of lung and throat problems, and it's because of this opportunistic bacteria that's already in your body. It just now suddenly has an opportunity to proliferate.
Jerry, we have to pause for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. Now, normally when Jerry is on the show with me, we're talking about his explorations, his expeditions, and we're talking about his discovery of some really, really fascinating ancient mysteries and anomalies. But Jerry is known worldwide as an alternative healer. And whereas this new strain of swine flu does not seem to have any kind of scientific explanation. There's no vaccine for it. It's really weird stuff. I read to you the quote from the professor of veterinary medicine that he said, you know what's weird about this? It's we're finding it in humans, but not in the pigs. Well, yes, they have found some swine flu in some pig populations around the United States, but it's not this swine flu. So this one is weird. And what we're talking with Jerry about, we're talking with him about ways for us to strengthen our own systems to try and protect us from this. As yet, all the facts are not in. We talked about the possibility that it may have an incubation period. There's a hint of that. The reason it came up is what Jerry told us about the CDC saying that about 100,000 Americans, they think, have contracted this swine flu, but or they have been infected by it, but they have not shown symptoms of it yet. And they're really worried about the regular flu season in the fall. Well, see, that sort of sounds like, and maybe I'm misreading it, but it sort of sounds to me like maybe there's an incubation period here. If so, and then you have 100,000 people that will say the swine flu goes hot with 100,000. Of course, by then it'll be, Jerry, bigger than 100,000. There'll be more by that time. If it goes hot in the flu season, it could be, as the World Health Organization described, a pandemic. I'm not trying to frighten anyone. What I'm saying is simply this. It makes sense to find out some ways, possibly to protect ourselves. There's no guarantees. This is not medical advice. This is nutritional advice and possibly some things that are some things that possibly will help us to strengthen our systems against a possible infection of swine flu. All right, Jerry, the floor is yours, sir. I had to cut you off for the break.
Oh, it's but, fine.
We were talking about, I think it's pronounced resveratrol.
Yeah, resveratrol.
Okay.
It's a little pricey. You want to use at least 1 gram of this every day. So you want to take half a gram in the morning when you get up and a half a gram when you go to bed at night.
What about the L-glutamine? Do you do that a half and a half, or do you do it 1 gram all at one time?
No, it's 5 grams.
And 5 grams.
I'm sorry, I didn't go into detail on that. You use 5 grams in the morning when you get up, and you use 5 grams at night when you go to bed.
Okay. All right. So after the resveratrol, what's next?
Well, the other things are pretty simple. Try to get about 3 grams of vitamin C in your body. You do that 3 times a day. In other words, 1 gram in the morning, 1 gram midday, and 1 gram in the evening when you go to bed. The other is using a liquid vitamin and not a solid vitamin. And the best liquid vitamin that we found so far is called PANA-C-315. It's P-A-N-A, there's a space, then a capital C, space, 315. This is one of the best liquid vitamins that we've ever come across. So you'd want to use a good liquid vitamin. And that's just kind of a no-brainer, though. You'd want to use a good liquid vitamin anyway because our food isn't nutritious any longer.
Okay. And certain bill passes Congress, it's going to be illegal to have an organic garden.
Well, and doesn't all this kind of give you a reason to wonder? It does me. If you could have an organic garden, if you could have organic food at your disposal, then you'd be healthier. But it seems like the government doesn't want us to be healthier. They want us to become more and more controlled. And this is just another method that they're using to do just that. I don't like
certainly certainly looks suspicious, and you know, you may be exactly right about that. I don't know. I suspect many things, but I don't know for sure. But it you know, the pattern seems to be there.
Well, you know, the thing for folks to remember is that if you're doing something proactive for your health, if you have it in your mind that you want to do something that will help to keep you safe, these things I've suggested are very powerful. They're very powerful. They supply the body with nutrients that it doesn't normally receive, and it causes your immune system to become much more substantial. You know, they're saying that this flu is hitting the young and the elderly pretty heavily. Well, that's because the young aren't getting as much nutrition as they should have. Those in the middle age, say 25 to 40, they have a much different body mechanic system as far as how nutrients are processed. But when you get past 40 and you're edging past 50 and so forth, your body is not producing the things that it needs to produce in order to stay healthy on a good day. That's why people look like they age. Using these things, of course, it'll help you to look younger, but more importantly, it'll help you to be much more healthy.
So it actually affects the way we look as well as the way we feel.
Absolutely.
Well, you know me. You've seen me on many occasions, and it may come as a surprise to you. I am actually only 18 years old, but I look the way I do, I guess, because of the way I eat.
Well, and, I mean, we're good friends, Kevin. You've seen me.
Uh-oh. Yeah?
I'm 312.
Okay, there you go.
So that's what these nutrients will do for you.
I'm 18. I just have lots and lots of miles on me. I'm 18 several times. Okay, so after vitamin C, is there something else?
Well, you know, like I said, there's Panacea 315, liquid vitamin, and that the only other thing I can think of is the water that you're drinking. Keep in mind that if you're drinking water out of the tap, it has sodium fluoride. Sodium fluoride moves to your brain, and it replaces part of the pituitary with fluoride crystals because of the sodium fluoride. Your pituitary with sodium fluoride crystals completely detunes it, so it detunes your psychic ability. So you want to avoid drinking water that's out of the tap. Instead, what you want to do is you want to try to get some distilled water. Buy a distiller if you haven't. Otherwise, buy distilled water and get a product that's called Concentrace. It's spelled Concentrace. Use about 25 drops per gallon. This will put all the essential minerals into your water, and that'll also help to keep you healthy. These minerals will also keep your body more alkaline. The virus is like a very acidic body, which is created when you're eating a lot of sugars and starches. So the concentrates will help keep it more alkaline.
All right, now let me add something to the pile here.
All right.
Because we talked about the possibility that insects may be playing a role in the spread of this swine flu. And I want to make it clear, we're not saying that's the case. We're just saying in the absence of solid information, you know, the solid information we have, I read to you, and that is that this swine flu, interesting, it's swine flu, is not showing up in the pigs. It's showing up in humans, and that's got Dr. David Reeves saying, what's up here? That is the million-dollar question. And so, you know, that's the solid information we've got. All right, so in the absence of other solid information, you know, how is this disease getting to us? It's not coming from the pigs, so how does it get to us? Well, maybe insects. I don't know. But I think most people in the audience know that I spent 2 years living in East Timor, which is a tropical island just north of Australia. And a good portion of that time I spent deep in the jungle of East Timor. Portion of that time I was in a place called Suai, and if you have a map of East Timor, you can see where that is. It is in the extreme southwest, and very much in the jungle. And then a good portion of that time I spent in the jungle area around Vakeke, East Timor. Now, they have malaria and dengue fever, and either one of those can kill you. Both of them are very severe if you get it, and it is caused by mosquito bites, carried by mosquitoes. So I asked a chemist in Australia who happens to be Aboriginal, what would he do if he were going into the bush to protect himself against mosquito bites? And he said he would take vitamin B1 and garlic. And I said, is that what you do? He said, yeah. I said, and it works well for you. He said, yeah, because the mosquitoes will not even land on you if you're taking vitamin B1 and garlic. They won't bite you. If you don't get bitten, you don't have a problem. So I started doing that, and I spent 2 years in the jungles and never got a mosquito bite, and we had mosquitoes so thick they looked like a cloud when they would come over.
I've seen that kind of thing before.
Yeah. And, you know, we had cases of malaria in Vakeke. We had cases of dengue fever. We had some international police that came down with dengue fever. And the interesting thing about that, you have dengue A and dengue B. Now, if you get either one of those the first time, you're okay. Let's say you get B. You're sick, but you'll get through it. If you get bitten again and it's with dengue A, the two combine, and you're dead. And it's very, very serious. Very serious. I spent 2 years without a mosquito bite. And so now, can I say it will work for other people that way? No. I can't say that it'll work at all for anybody else. But I can tell you it worked for me. And so you might, you know, you need to know about that, and you might want to try it. If there is an incubation period, and again, this is certainly not in any way trying to sound an alarm. This is speculation. If there is an incubation period, and if that incubation period ends right about the time our regular flu season starts, and if you've right now got about 100,000 people who have been infected and have not shown symptoms, we could be looking at something really ominous here, Jerry.
Well, if it's 100,000, it's a million. I mean, the only reason they use that figure is because they say now that they have lost the ability to track it and keep track of how many people have it. So that means that it could be any number of people past 100,000.
All right. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to open up the telephone line and allow our audience to join in the conversation. The telephone number is 602-539-9580 or toll-free at 1-888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, then what you can do is you can use our flash message feature. And the way you do that is you go to my website, just scroll down, and you'll see where it says flash message. You'll see the link. And just click that, and you can send a flash message with your question or comment, and we'll read it on the air and allow Jerry to comment on it. Let's go ahead to the phone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hi, Ryan.
Three times now I've gone to a grocery store, and I think one other time was to a gas station, and seen people with face masks on. I think that there are some people that are just taking this way too seriously. It is a serious deal. I think you guys are right, and this is a very informative program that we need to take precautions about this deal. But me personally, I think that it is too early and not enough evidence to suggest any kind of intervention or some kind of purposeful release of this bug.
Let me say something about people wearing masks. If you have someone, let's say you've got someone who at some time in their life had tuberculosis, so they've got very weak lungs, then they certainly would want to be extremely cautious, and it would be totally understandable for someone like that to be wearing a mask just as a precaution. But I agree, I don't think we need to be panicking. I don't think we need to run screaming into the nighttime. But because of this statement that I read by this Dr. David Reeves, when he says, we don't know how it happened, we've not seen it in pigs, but it's circulating within humans. Why? That's the million-dollar question. Because of that, I felt like what we needed to do is discuss this. This is a weird flu. It's not doing what it's supposed to do, and it's a combination of four different kinds of flu, including avian flu. And because of that, and because of the high death rate in Mexico, and because of the statement by the CDC, that sort of indicates there might be kind of an incubation period. I mean, it just kind of seems that's what they're saying. Add all that together, I felt like we needed to talk about how to beef up our own systems and sort of try to harden our own systems against becoming infected with this disease. No guarantees, yeah, but we need to know.
Well, I like this program. I think it's a good idea to veer off into this today. I don't think it's the governments of our country doing this. If anybody that was doing this for population control, it probably would have been China. You know how China only allows their families to have a certain amount of children. Was it one or two children? If you have more than that, it's against the law, I suppose. I think if they want to do population control, they could have come up with a better plan than this. Seven people that have died in the United States so far is not very many if you really want to get down to two-thirds of the population. Plus, they wouldn't let it get into the media as much as they have been because everybody knows about it now. They're closing down schools and closing down areas where this was spread, and they're containing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I don't know for sure. That's just my opinion. I think it's... the question I had for Jerry was, what about, like, air filtration? Like, in your house and stuff?
Yeah,
The quality of the air that you're breathing. And I'll just take it out the air.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right. Yeah, thanks for the call. Air filtration, of course, it's important. You know, when you're in the wintertime, part of the issue is that the air is not as fresh. What we do, of course, we're in Phoenix where it's hotter than Dickens, so we have the house closed up in the summertime. In the wintertime, the doors are open.
Yeah.
So what we do is we have a couple of things called the ionic breeze. We have a negative ion generator type of thing that basically pulls the air through it and cleans the air. And it's amazing how much garbage that you get out of these things when you pull it apart to clean it. One of the things that it's important to remember is if you've put down new carpet, if you've gotten new furniture, it's probably outgassing formaldehyde gas, which you're not going to be able to even detect. But this whacks your immune system as well. So be aware that if you've gotten carpet, you really, for the first year, you don't want to have that in an enclosed space at all because it's outgassing. And as far as the, you know, he's right. Seven people have died in the United States. I heard on the news, I think it was CNN, that 30, 35,000 people a year die of just the regular flu. So this isn't like a pandemic for us yet.
No.
My suggestions are basically do these things. This will help you to be more healthy. And if you were concerned about whatever this swine flu and the possibility of viruses might be, this is going to help keep you a little bit more healthy. But I don't want any panic. There's nothing.
No, we do. No reason to panic. Not yet, anyway.
No.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir. Thanks for asking.
How you doing, Jerry?
Doing good, Don. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention Kevin. He mentioned the garlic and B complex, and he was getting bit by mosquitoes. Well, you know, I've always knew that myself. I'm originally from Michigan, and I used to do a lot of fishing back there, which everybody does. And we go out in the woods with my buddy and around the lake, and you know, back there, mosquitoes will eat you alive, man. And as far as fees goes. As far as Phoenix goes, we virtually don't have no mosquitoes to speak of. You know, I rarely see a mosquito compared to back there. But my buddy, the mosquitoes would eat him right up, and they would never bother me. I said, hey, man, you got to take B-complex and stuff. My wife and I, we lived in the country. We grew our vegetables organically. We always took a lot of vitamins, and, you know, and the mosquitoes would never bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does work. Well, let me say, it worked for me, and folks, there you hear, it worked for Don. Now, in my case, Don, I didn't take B-complex. I took B1 and garlic.
Yeah, we had a lot of garlic in our diet at the time. I can't remember. Well, we probably did. I mean, I've literally spent tens of thousands of dollars over the decades with vitamins. You know, God, I could have bought a new car for what I'm spending vitamins on. But you know, well, what Jerry was saying, the different things to do for precautionary measures, and it's just common sense to do these precautionary measures. And about your last caller saying, well, this person, they're panicking, they're jumping the wagon to wear these facial masks, but I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just a precautionary measure.
And there are people who have, health conditions that sort of require them to do that. Don, we're into a break. Got to run. Thanks for the call. All right. Let me just see if, caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. You hang in there. We'll get you first up after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and we have a couple of callers on hold. So, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay, that caller is not ready to go. And so let's go to this other caller. And let's see if I can bring this one up. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hi, Kevin. Hi, Jerry. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, good to hear you both speaking about this misunderstood illness. As far as pigs catching it, we have a farm here in central Alberta that's under quarantine right now. They've called 220 pigs that came down with the darn swine flu virus or the H1N1, and it was traced back to a person who had returned from Mexico that works on the farm.
So now we have humans infecting pigs instead of the other way around.
Correct, yes.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, that is pretty weird. So they had to put down, like I said, 220 of them, and it's a herd of about 1,200 pigs. So, yeah, it's out there. It's real. But I think they did overblow it. I know that yesterday Canada lifted its restriction to travel to Mexico, so they've given it the all clear to go back there.
Well, if the swine flu doesn't get you in Mexico, the drug lords may.
Yeah. True
or maybe
enough.
Maybe the salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the salsa. Don't drink the water for sure.
I've never done that.
Yeah. As far as Jerry talking about homeopathic remedies and taking care of your immune system, I agree fully. And, you know, there's some really good products out there on the market. And I think it's just a matter of finding one that you can trust and that works for you.
I think you're right.
Everybody's different.
Surely, yeah.
These things that I've suggested are basically just, you know, kind of general things. Of course, for sure, the D3, if you do the 10,000 units of D3 and nothing else, that's going to really boost your system up.
Yeah, they say vitamin D, and like you claimed, you have to do it in that particular dosage with that particular type of vitamin D, because if you just take a normal tablet, it's not going to do too much for you.
No, it's not.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for the call. Interesting stuff. We have to move along to our next caller, and let's see if our caller is there. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Good.
Hi. I was wondering, my player wasn't working right, and it took me a few to listen to you tonight, so I didn't get all your conversation, but I hear you talking about that flu.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of suspicious, you know, because they were talking about bird flu, you know, and scaring everybody with that. And then at the end of the fusus season here, we got a pig flu that's, you know, just comes out of the air that only affects people that's around pigs usually. So I'm kind of suspicious about that.
Well, what's even more suspicious about this, Terry, is listen to this. Dr. David Reeves, who is he's an associate professor of population health at the University of Georgia College of Veterinary Medicine. He says most of the time the virus stays in pigs. The one they're talking about this swine flu that's going on now, he said the one that they're talking about appears to be a new strain of the virus. We don't know how it happened. We've not seen it in pigs, but it's circulating within humans. Why? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, you guys are kind of breaking up. I don't know if you can hear me. I was just wondering if you guys were talking about, ever heard of MMS? It's a solution made from a guy named Jim Hubble. I just ordered some and trying a regimen of it. It's supposed to take care of a lot of things, you know, can't make claims, but if you're sick, you might want to really look into that. It might be helpful. And I got a brain scratcher for you. I was flipping through my TV channels, and I flipped it on American Idol. And they said that 100 million people called in to vote for the winner of that show the other night. I mean, oh, boy. Yeah, 100 million people that's that serious about something like that. It just kind of sets me back in my tracks a little bit, wondering where we're at yet.
Yeah. All right, Terry, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. We have to move along. All right. Just a quick comment. We must be hitting some nails on the head, Jerry, because they just disconnected our video feed, went to the backup system, and it's having a very difficult time reestablishing connection. So, you know, who knows? But those who are in the majority are listening by radio or you're listening via your computer. And you are listening via your iPhones, your cell phones, AM, FM, or shortwave radio. So we shall continue. The telephone number for you to call is 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA or you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I'll be glad to read it, and we'll comment on it. Now, Jerry, let me ask you if you have done any research, specific research, into how this virus is different from typical swine flu.
No, I really haven't. The information I've gotten is just anecdotal, pretty much the way everyone else has, with one exception. I was thinking about mentioning this tonight, and I think I'll go into it, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I work on people at a distance every day. And to do that, I transfer myself to the person, which I call remote presence. And then I take a look to see what's wrong, and sometimes the person can even tell that I'm there. Well, I decided, you remember back when they went to the level 6 or 5 or whatever it was the high level that the CDC went to, I decided I was going to take a look to see what this swine flu was all about. So one night I decided to do that. I transferred myself to Mexico to take a look at the people who are so desperately ill. What I found was going smaller and smaller until I got to the size of the virus until I could see it clearly. It was a ball-shaped virus with covered with hairs, and the end of the hairs had a small tip to them that was kind of like a mouth, if it could be characterized as anything. So I went inside the virus to see what was in there and to understand what might be done in order to kill it. And I think that I found what needed to be done from my perspective as a person who works with energy. So the next night, and I told two people about this, I've never not told anyone else, I told these two folks, here's what I'm going to do. It's all over the news. Everybody's afraid. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to broadcast an energy from myself to this virus and try to decimate it. I said it's going to take 1 week because the way that it would kill the virus, it would take 1 week for it to really affect and there would be some noticeable changes. So I did that. About a week later, it wasn't even in the news because nothing was happening. It's like it went up to a pinnacle and then it just fell. So I don't know if my experiment worked or if it didn't work. I mean, there's still cases out there, but it hasn't been anything as severe and as troublesome as what they've suggested. But let's suppose for an instant, for just a moment, that what I did had some kind of an effect. I want to jump to another point here, and that is about this time last year, there was a fellow in Tennessee who was, his spinal cord was injured. He was in very bad shape, not expected to live. Some of you listening who are members of my newsletter list may remember this. What I did is I got everyone together, you know, thousands of people on the newsletter list to focus energy towards helping this fellow be all right. It is a bit more complicated than that, but that's the basic understanding of it. And by the time I got to this fellow and I worked on him, and we drove from Nebraska, southeastern Nebraska, all the way down to the center of Tennessee to help this man, by the time we got there and I had a chance to work on him, shortly after, as usual, with a lot of the folks I work on, he wasn't going to die, and instead he started turning around and things were looking really very good. Now, taking that we used a lot of people with their intention focused in one direction, and it changed that, taking the fact that I can remotely project myself someplace and effectively fix something that's wrong with someone, if we collectively, everyone listening to this broadcast, if you really believed for a moment that you could tap into this ability that you have as well as I do, and start focusing energy towards destroying this virus, I believe that we could knock it out before it ever became an issue. It may already be knocked out for all I know, but if it were to start to become an issue again, maybe we should get together collectively and just agree that this is not necessary and that we're going to see to it in our own way that it's not going to happen. If there are people who are interested in doing this, then I'm interested to teach you how. It won't cost you anything. I'm going to do that through my newsletter. So you can go to expeditionstv.com or the jerrywills.com site and sign up for the newsletter, and I'll go over this probably in the next, I'll give it about a week, let everyone have a chance to catch up and get signed in, and then I'm going to teach you how to do this.
All right. Sounds interesting. You know, Jerry, we have a call on hold, so we're going to have to take that call. But after this call, I want to come back to that and make a suggestion. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Hi, Clay.
Hi, Kevin. I have a question. Hang on for just 1 minute. Okay, in Africa they have viruses and different things, okay, and dust storms kick them up, and they travel in the atmosphere, and could be coming around the world, and there's another possibility too, a virus from space, but I rule that out. I'll take my answer off here. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for the call, Clay. My answer to that is certainly windstorms carry dust and dirt, and whatever happens to be sitting on that dust and dirt goes with it. So, yeah, it could spread that way, I would think. We have to take a break. When we come back, I've got a suggestion to add to what Jerry said. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. Jerry, I like what you're talking about. I don't know if you would call that an experiment in psychic intent or conscious intent or whatever. But
manifestation.
Okay. Let me suggest that everyone, if you're not signed up for the newsletter that Jerry's offering, sign up for it. He's going to teach you how to do this in the newsletter for free. All right, so he's going to explain how it's done. Jerry, let me suggest also that we have you back on the show and we schedule a specific time when right here on the show we will do what you've taught us to do and see what happens.
That sounds great. You know, there was a time when Art Bell did something similar to this when there was a drought. And sure enough, the drought ended with a thunderstorm just right in alignment with what all the folks had done to focus on it. What I would like for folks to know is that intention is a very powerful thing. And if there's no reason for us to live in fear. We are part of the essence of God that lives on earth. We have the Creator within us. And if you've watched what Kevin has, folks, the Gods in the Garden seminar, you'll know more about this. If you haven't watched it, I suggest you get it and watch it. It's really incredible, just absolutely amazing stuff. And this really is in alignment with what I would want to teach you. I want to show you how you can take the essence that you are the particle of God that's within you and how to use that to manifest these things like this virus. Let's not be afraid. You know, these things I've told you about to use to help to be healthy, those are great things. Use them anyway, but don't use them because you're afraid. Use them because you have confidence. And as far as the swine flu goes, or any flu for that matter, it doesn't have to happen. None of this has to happen if we just agree that it isn't necessary for us as a society, as a species. We can change this. It isn't pie in the sky, it isn't science fiction, but it is the application that is within the principles of being aware, not just a consciousness, but being aware.
Well, you know, there have been so many scientific experiments in laboratories where they have documented the effect of thought upon matter. And one of the things that comes to mind is Dr. Emoto's experiments with crystals in water and within water, and how you can actually change the appearance of those crystals by simply changing what people are thinking around that water. People who are gathered around that beaker of water. So if they're very happy and laughing and everything's fun, the crystals look very symmetrical and beautiful. And if people are speaking in angry voices and it's turbulent emotionally around that water, then the crystals in the water look chaotic. And this has been, you know, done time and time again, and it's been measured, it's been photographed. So we know that thoughts actually do have an effect on matter.
Right. You know, energy is just willy-nilly. It will do what it will do. But we are part of the process of creation, and as such, we have the right and the obligation to dictate how that matter or how that energy moves to influence matter. When I work on a person with a broken bone in their foot, and from 2,500 miles away, that bone is instantly healed, which, you know, that's documented. It's because in this realm where we're going to be working, there isn't time, there isn't space. There isn't a yesterday or tomorrow. There's only the eternal now. It's a little hard to get your mind around. That's why I'm going to have to teach you a little bit about this so you'll understand how to apply these principles in your own life. And this isn't just for working with the swine flu. This is so that you can take control of your life and do things that you want to do to bring results to your own life that you would like to bring. This is a very empowering thing, and it's free. It's just for you. So I want to share it with you. Just sign up for the newsletter. I'll get to it in about a week.
All right, Jerry, tell us again how they can sign up for the newsletter. Where do they have to go for this?
Well, you can go to jerrywills.com. That's pretty easy.
Yep.
Look, and you can look for where it says join the newsletter. Sign up. You can also go to expeditionstv.com. There's another one there. If you're watching right now, if you're watching me on channel U, it's channel-u.com, just the letter U, there's another link there. So there's three places, and you can go there and sign up. It doesn't cost anything. You just type in your email address and click, and it's going to send a validation thing saying, yes, I want to be in the newsletter. Click that, and you're in the newsletter. And this way, not only will you be getting benefit of this information I'm going to share with you, but if you're interested in the adventures that Kathy and I have or any of the other arcane information, then you'll be the first to know about that as well. Incidentally, for the people who are listening in, you know, all over the world, Fox TV is going to be doing a special about us. It's going to be airing the night of the 26th after 9 p.m. locally here in Phoenix. It's on Channel 10. Once that airs, it'll be up on Channel U, and it'll also be at expeditionstv.com. It's about our experience down in southern Arizona at the portal that you and I spoke with on your show just I don't know, a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be an episode on TV about that for folks to watch if they're interested.
Outstanding.
So, not to diffuse all this, but sign up for the newsletter. Let's see if we can do something good.
Jerry, we're just about out of time. We're racing toward the denouement of the show. For all of our Canadian friends, you thought I didn't know that word. That means the end, folks. We're racing towards the end of the show. And I want to thank you, Jerry, for coming and talking with us about this. It's not the sort of thing we normally talk about when you're here, but certainly it's within the realm of what you do as a healer. And I thank you for coming and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kevin, and thanks to all the folks who were interested enough to tune in tonight. I appreciate that.
And like I said, we must have hit a few nails on the head because they started interrupting the video feed just within this last 20 minutes or so, and it's been off and on and off and on. I apologize to those of you who are trying to watch on KSS-TV, but I'm not doing that. That's your friendly freedom lovers doing that. And anyway, we got through it. Jerry, if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as we wrap up the show. I want to talk with you a moment after the show.
Sure.
All right, folks, a couple of quick announcements. If you haven't signed up yet for Jerry's newsletter, be sure you do that. Go to jerrywills.com, and you can sign up there. Or at expeditionstv.com, you can sign up there. And he's going to be explaining in his newsletter how to do this focused intent that he's talking about. And we're going to have him back on the show. And at a specific time, on a specific date, we'll all do this together and see what happens with this swine flu virus as a result of that. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.